Welcome to this growth summary. The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan emphasizes focusing on the single most important task in any area of your life to achieve extraordinary results. The book teaches the power of prioritization, guiding readers to simplify their approach by identifying and acting on the one thing that will make the biggest impact in your goals, career, or personal life. So, Gary Keller is the founder of Keller Williams Realty, the largest real estate company in the world by agent count, sales volume, and units sold. He's a best-selling author known for this book, The One Thing, and also The Millionaire Real Estate Agent and the book Shift. Keller revolutionized the real estate industry with his innovative profit-sharing model, which empowered countless agents to take ownership of their careers. The co-author Jay Papasan is a former HarperCollins editor who's co-authored several bestsellers with Gary Keller. So, if you want to improve how you get things done to be more successful, then this is a great book to read. Gary Keller, who founded the largest real estate company in the world, shares advice that has helped many people in his companies focus better and get more done by doing less. At the heart of this book is a simple yet powerful question. What's the most important thing you can do that will solve most of your other problems in this area or make them go away? This one question helps you figure out the one thing you should focus on, so you don't get distracted by less important tasks that make less impact and dilute your energy. By focusing on more on just one thing, you can achieve bigger results. And that really is the one main point in this book. So in the following summary, we'll explore the other key takeaways from this best-selling book and go through it chapter by chapter. Whether you're looking to improve your productivity, grow your business, or find more balance in life, The One Thing offers practical advice to help you simplify your path to success. Now, another book you'll probably love is Atomic Habits by James Clear. You see, once you've chosen the right one thing to focus on, you're going to need a plan to achieve it. In Atomic Habits, Clear suggests we focus on systems rather than just our goals. He says it this way, quote, "Goals are about the results you want to achieve. Systems are about the processes that lead to those results." End quote. For example, if someone wanted to become a professional writer, it would be more effective for them to focus on the daily process of writing every day and getting 1% better every single day. Because when we fixate too much on our big goal, that can often lead to us feeling overwhelmed and then procrastinating. But when we focus on our systems and processes, we can get a little better every single day. So you can read more about that in our summary of Atomic Habits by James Clear. Now let's talk about the first big point in this book, which is number one, focus on one thing. Success comes from narrowing your focus to the most important task, the one thing that can simplify or eliminate the need to do most other things. So we're jumping right into our chapter one summary. This first chapter is about how focusing on one key task can lead to massive success in both your personal and professional life. So the first big point here is learning to focus on one thing. The author Gary Keller shares a bit of his personal story. He shares how his real estate company, Keller Williams Realty, had reached regional success, but then they began to struggle. After hiring a coach, he was told to focus on doing just one thing, which was building a team of 14 key people in his organization. Now, at first, he didn't believe that would do it, that would solve all their big problems, but he decided to try it out. And he decided to make this his singular focus. He even stepped down in his role as CEO, finding someone else to do those daily CEO activities just to find those team of 14 people. And after doing that, his company experienced 40% annual growth for the next decade, showing him the power of narrowing his attention to one priority when it's the correct one thing. Next point is about teaching others to narrow their focus too. So then Gary Keller began coaching the top leaders in his own company, and he would talk with them every week about their top priorities, trying to get them to narrow them down to just a few tasks each week. Over time, he found that even just a few priorities was too much, so he refined this approach, eventually asking them to identify the one thing that would have the biggest impact. He found this simple but powerful question also led the people he was coaching to have extraordinary results too. So the key insight from the first chapter is that success comes from doing fewer things with laser focus rather than spreading ourselves thin with a busy schedule filled with distractions. Because often we think that's what success is represented by, being really busy with a lot of things on our schedule. So now let's move on to chapter 2, which explains how small actions can lead to a chain reaction of big results, which is called the domino effect. So the first point here is the domino effect of small actions. The author begins with explaining how people sometimes set up these long chains of dominoes, with the world record being over 4 million dominoes knocked over in a row. And a cool fact from physics is that one domino can knock over another one that's 50% bigger. So in one experiment, there was a 2-inch domino that knocked over another domino that was just a little bit bigger, 50% bigger, and then the next one was 50% bigger, and by just the 8th domino, that one was 3 feet tall. And this author says, if the chain kept going, then the 30th domino would be as tall as Mount Everest. This is a visual illustration of how success works. We can start with very small actions, the 2-inch domino, but that can quickly lead to huge results of a 3-foot domino or knocking over Mount Everest-sized domino if we focus on the correct first domino, the right one thing. So that's the next point. Your one thing is the first domino. Just like that first small domino can set off a chain reaction, your one thing is the most important task you can do that gets everything moving in your favor. By focusing on that one key action that you determine to will have the most impact, you begin creating momentum in your life that leads to much bigger achievements over the short term and long term. Success grows step by step by knocking down these dominoes one at a time in the correct order. Now we have chapter 3, which highlights the power of focusing on one thing and how some of the most successful people have achieved great results by doing so. So focusing on one thing leads to massive success. That's obviously the key point so far in this book. So this chapter shows how certain individuals and companies have achieved amazing results by doing so, by focusing on just one thing, whether it's a product, a skill, or an idea. For example, Apple's main product is the iPhone. It continues to generate most of their profit. KFC became famous for one thing, their fried chicken recipe. Google built its success on being the best at one thing, search engines. This author dives into more depth into the story of Bill Gates, who's a great example of the power of focus in life. As a young person, Bill Gates dedicated himself completely to mastering one skill, computer programming, and that focus led to the creation of Microsoft, which gained its massive success and made him the richest person in the world, mainly because of one product, which was Windows. Later, when Bill Gates turned to philanthropy, his wife asked him where they could make the biggest difference, and Gates again focused on one thing, which was vaccines for developing countries, knowing that could save the most lives. In fact, I've heard one time both him and Warren Buffett were on stage and they were asked what was the one key to their success, and they both said it came down to one word, which was focus. Now, I'm going to connect this to another book with a similar idea, which is Essentialism by Greg McKeown. The subtitle of that book is The Disciplined Pursuit of Less, so it's all about doing fewer things but doing them better. That subtitle comes from the business author Jim Collins, who found that many great companies failed because they engaged in the undisciplined pursuit of more. They tried adding more products, entering more markets, or building more departments, but that just made them lose focus and become uncompetitive, even in that one thing that they became great at. So essentialism is doing the opposite of that. It's the disciplined pursuit of less. For example, when Steve Jobs returned to Apple, he cut 90% of their products to focus on the most important 10%. In our own lives, if we don't cut out what's not essential, we'll end up with a life filled with priorities set by other people, not ourselves. So you can read more about that in our summary of Essentialism by Greg McKeown. So now we have a growth coach workshop exercise. Write down your biggest goal or the most pressing problem in your life. Then ask yourself, what's the one thing I can do today that will have the greatest impact on this? And you can go to growth summary and enter your answer to that question, and you'll get feedback from our growth coach workshop. So that brings us to the second key takeaway, which is learn to say no. To say yes to your one thing, you have to say no to distractions and less important tasks. Focus is about cutting out all the things which don't matter as much. So the next six chapters of The One Thing dive deep into six common productivity myths. These are ideas that are repeated so often, they start to feel true for us, but they actually hold us back from achieving real success. So now we have the chapter 4 summary. This chapter shows that not everything is equally important, and true success comes from focusing on the most impactful task each day. So the first myth is about having a productive to-do list. People have this false belief that getting more things done leads to more success, and so long to-do lists might feel very productive to us, but in reality, most of the tasks on them are not really important. Instead, what we really need is a success list. That's a short list focused on the few things that drive extraordinary results. And only a handful of tasks are truly critical to our success, so focusing on those can make all the difference. It's about the 80-20 principle, but taking it to the extreme. This principle was inspired by the economist Vilfredo Pareto. It's called the 80-20 principle, and it shows that a small percentage of inputs lead to the majority of outcomes in most areas of our lives. For example, in most companies, around 20% of customers generate 80% of the profits. Now, the exact ratio here is less important than the overall idea. For each company, it might be a little different, like 15% and 90% or 10% and 70% and so on. But the author explains that we need to push this 80-20 concept even further by narrowing your focus to just one thing. Narrowing down to the one key action. In his own company, Gary Keller initially brainstormed with his top leaders 100 ways they could gain industry recognition, which is something they were struggling with. So they found 100 ways, then they narrowed it down to just 10 ideas, and finally, they narrowed it down to one key action that the author could take, and that was writing a book for people in their industry that would make them an authority. That book became The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, and it was written over the course of a year. It ended up selling 1 million copies, in a relatively small market of maybe 1 million people who are real estate agents, and that had a massive impact on their success. So we want to narrow down to our one key action when we begin with a long list of potential activities. What will make the biggest impact? Next, we have chapter 5. This one reveals the myth of multitasking and how switching between tasks actually lowers our productivity and focus. So the main point here is about the myth of multitasking. People often think that multitasking makes them more productive, but it's not true. Research by Stanford professor Clifford Nass showed that people who try to multitask actually perform worse at everything, even if they're not aware of it in the moment. This whole idea of multitasking actually came from early computer processors, and those don't truly multitask, but they rapidly switch between tasks. And that's what people have to do when they try to multitask. They can't do two things at once. They rapidly switch between tasks. The problem is that people can't switch as easily or effectively. So the next point is the hidden cost of switching focus. Research shows that on average, people are interrupted every 11 minutes during the workday by things like email notifications or a coworker stopping by, and it can take up to a third of the day just to get back on track with what you were doing. And that's because when you switch between tasks, it takes time to refocus on that task. This lost time really adds up throughout the day. And it's especially true when we're working on complex tasks, which take longer to switch into. So for example, if you're digging a hole in your garden, it's easier to get back into that activity when you're distracted than it is to get back into writing the essay when you were distracted in the middle of a paragraph. So this chapter is all about giving your work the respect it deserves. While we can do two simple things at once, like walking and talking, we can't focus on two things at the same time. Gary Keller asks us to think about how surgeons or pilots are expected to be 100% undistracted while they're working because their jobs are critical. Well, shouldn't our most important work deserve that same undivided attention and respect? Now, I'm going to connect this to another book. The best productivity book I've read on staying focused is Deep Work by Cal Newport. In the first part of that book, he argues that the most important skill for the future is being able to do deep, focused work for extended periods of time instead of shallow, half-distracted work, which is becoming less valuable. Cal Newport says, "To learn hard things quickly, you must focus intensely without distraction." And he knows a thing or two about learning, being a computer science professor. So in that book, Cal Newport shares four strategies which can help us focus. And these strategies range from the most intense to the most flexible. The first way is by going monk mode, where we become almost unreachable. Like the writer Neal Stephenson, who doesn't even have a public email address available. Second strategy is to set aside long periods for deep work, like Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, who would retreat to a countryside house for a few months every year to think deeply, and then he would have to return to the city to see his clients, which was the work that paid the bills. The third option is to block out time daily for your deep work, like the one thing suggests, doing 4 hours of our most important thing at the start of the workday. The final option is to fit in deep work whenever you can, which the author Cal Newport does by writing when he can during his kids' nap time, since he is a busy father. So you can read more strategies for productivity like that in our summary of Deep Work by Cal Newport. Now returning to this book, we have another Growth Coach Workshop exercise. What are the top 1 to 3 things you'd like to begin saying no to more often so you can focus more on your most important thing? Now, you can write down your answer to save it for later and even get an interactive response by typing this out on the growth summary. Next, we have key point number 3, which is to manage your willpower and energy. Willpower is limited, so do your most important work early in the day when you have the most energy and focus. Jumping right into chapter 6, which explains that success isn't about having constant discipline, but about building one little habit at a time. So this chapter is all about the myth of needing super discipline. So many of us believe that being very successful requires being highly disciplined all the time. But this author, who did become super successful, says that's a myth, and he himself is not able to work extreme hours. He says that we don't need to be super disciplined all the time. We need just enough discipline to create a habit in our lives. Because once a behavior becomes a habit, it takes much less effort for us to maintain it. Research from the University of College London shows it takes about 66 days on average for a new habit to form and become automatic. Now, we want to build one new habit at a time. So focus on just one habit at a time until it sticks. An example shared in this chapter is Michael Phelps, who as a child was told he lacked focus because of his ADHD. However, he focused on doing one thing, swimming, and built daily habits around it. By practicing every day, even on Sundays, Phelps eventually became the most decorated Olympian in history with 22 medals. But he really did it by following the same exact routine each and every day, not by being super disciplined. Next, we have chapter 7, which talks about how willpower is a limited resource and why it's important to focus on your most important task early in the day. So it's all about the myth of on-demand willpower. So many of us think we can rely on willpower whenever we need it, but that's a myth. Willpower is limited. It depletes throughout the day, just like a phone battery running low. That's why after a long, exhausting day, we may give in to temptations like grabbing an unhealthy snack, even if we promised ourselves we would be eating healthier. In one study, they found that judges were far less likely to grant parole as the day wore on and they got more tired. So the key point here is to do your most important thing early in the day. Since willpower is strongest in the morning, it's crucial to tackle your most important task, your one thing, early in the day. Another point is to keep your brain fueled by eating foods high in complex carbohydrates and protein, which provides a steady stream of glucose to your brain, which other studies mentioned have improved mental performance. I'm going to connect this to the book Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy, which is a classic book on success, and it's all about getting your most important work done first. Basically, your frog is the hardest, most important task you need to tackle, the one you're most likely to procrastinate on, but that will have the biggest impact for you. Brian Tracy wrote in that book, "The ability to concentrate single-mindedly on your most important task, to do it well, and to finish it completely is the key to great success, achievement, respect, status, and happiness in life." End quote. Read more about that in our summary of Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. Here's another growth coach workshop exercise. When do you feel most energized and focused during the day? How can you adjust your schedule to ensure you're working on your most important tasks during that time? And that brings us to the fourth big point, which is balance isn't always necessary. At times, you need to go out of balance professionally to focus on your one thing, but in your personal life, come back quickly to your priorities like health and relationships. So, jumping into chapter 8, which explains why work-life balance is a myth and how getting out of balance for short periods is sometimes necessary for success. So it's all about the myth of work-life balance. The idea of this work-life balance, it became popular only in the 90s, but Gary Keller argues that it's unrealistic. Instead of striving for perfect balance, what we should aim for is a life that is meaningful and engaging. To make a significant impact in any area, whether personal or professional, we will need to focus intensely on certain things, a few things, which means getting out of balance at times. However, we should go out of balance, but never for too long. While it is necessary to go out of balance to achieve big results, the key is also to counterbalance. In your professional life, you can afford to be out of balance for longer periods of time to focus on that one thing. However, in your personal life, relationships, and health, you should only go out of balance briefly and then quickly tend to those neglected areas, because we can't assume those will last if ignored for too long. Next, we have Chapter 9, which challenges the idea that thinking big is overwhelming, and it shows how big results come from big thinking, not just working harder. So this chapter is all about the myth that thinking big is bad. So many of us have this subconscious belief that thinking big will lead to stress and overwhelm, but that's not necessarily true. In fact, big thinking helps us break free from limiting beliefs and artificial ceilings on what we can achieve. This connects to Carol Dweck, who wrote the book Mindset, and she coined this idea of the growth mindset, which emphasizes that we can always improve and grow rather than being stuck with our current abilities. So big results require big thinking, not always working harder. Achieving bigger results doesn't always mean we have to put in more hours or effort. Sometimes it requires smarter, more focused actions. Aiming higher can sometimes be easier than we expect. And thinking small can often lead to just as much effort, but simply for fewer results. Big thinking guides us to take different actions, like how J.K. Rowling planned all 7 Harry Potter books before she wrote the first one. So she was thinking big from the beginning, creating this expansive universe, and that led to her big success. Here we have another growth coach workshop exercise. What personal relationships or health habits need attention? How can you dedicate time to those without losing momentum on your work goals? Again, you can save your response and get some interactive feedback from it by going to growth summary and entering your response. So next we have number 5. This big idea is about asking the focusing question. You want to regularly ask yourself, what's the most important thing I can do that will solve most of my other problems or make them go away? So now we move on to Chapter 10, and this is really the core of the book. It introduces the focusing question, which helps us to identify the one most important task that will make an overwhelming impact towards whatever your primary goal is. So, the one question. The key to success starts with asking yourself, what's the most important thing I can do that will solve most of my other problems or make them go away in this area? I've paraphrased this a little bit to avoid copyright issues. But this question will help you to focus on the one critical task that can make so many of your other tasks easy or irrelevant. The great thing is, it works for both your big long-term goals and also for planning the small immediate tasks that you face each day. For example, let's say you were running a business and struggling with low sales. Well, you might ask the question and come up with the answer, the most important thing would be to develop a standout offer for your business. So then by focusing on that one critical task, you could make other issues like marketing challenges or customer retention easier or irrelevant, because an outstanding offer will naturally attract more customers and drive sales. So the counterintuitive advice here is to put your eggs in one basket. This chapter shares a story about Andrew Carnegie, who was the head of Carnegie Steel and the second richest person in history when we adjust for inflation. So he once said that the secret to success in business is to focus all your energy and resources on one thing. Become the best at it. Know it inside and out, and don't spread yourself too thin. People often say, don't put your eggs in one basket. It's like a cliche, but he was one of the richest people ever, and Andrew Carnegie believed that we should put your eggs in one basket, then watch the basket. That means concentrating on one project and giving it your full attention and effort. That brings us to chapter 11, which emphasizes the importance of turning the focusing question into a habit for us to reach success in every area of life. So it is really about turning this one question into a habit for us. We want to make it a habit for us to ask ourselves, what's the one thing that we can do? And we can apply it to different areas of our life by adjusting it, the question, for specific goals and timeframes. For example, you can ask yourself, what's the one thing I can do today to improve my health? Or what can I do the one thing I can do this week to strengthen my relationships, and so on. That brings us to another growth coach workshop exercise. How can you apply the focusing question to different areas of your life that are important to you, such as work, health, and relationships, so you can make better decisions and create more impact? Next, we have key takeaway number 6, which is to aim big but specific. Don't be afraid to set big goals, but be very specific about what they are and what you need to do to achieve them. Because big thinking leads to big results when we are concrete. So chapter 12 explains how asking big specific questions leads us to having better answers and greater success. First point is to ask big and specific questions. So if we want to achieve extraordinary results, Gary Keller says we need to start by asking the right question, and that is one that is both big and specific. For example, instead of asking something vague like, how can we improve customer satisfaction, or something small like, how can we increase satisfaction by 5%, we can ask a big yet specific question like, how can we double our customer satisfaction ratings in the next 6 months? So that is a big specific question. It's a type of question that is surprisingly uncommon for people to ask, yet it will drive clear, powerful actions toward achieving our goals. So after asking the right question, the next step is to analyze the success of others and then go beyond it. So we want to begin by studying what the best people have done to achieve similar results. And then we want to push beyond that by thinking creatively, looking for ways to take things to the next level or to do something completely different to outperform and set new standards. Going back to our last example, if we did want to double customer satisfaction in 6 months, we would begin by looking at the companies in our industry that have outstanding customer satisfaction, or even outside of our industry, and we would analyze how they got to it, and then we would think creatively about how we could take it even further. Okay, now we're moving on to another section of the book. These last chapters of The One Thing focus on bigger ideas like purpose and mastery. So these ideas are the invisible foundation of our outer success and productivity, kind of like how 70% of an iceberg is hidden underwater. We don't see it, yet it's so critical. So chapter 13 focuses on how aiming for meaning and engagement will bring happiness and purpose to our lives. To find happiness, aim for meaning and engagement. A lot of people say they want happiness, but most of us are not sure what that really means. Research by Martin Seligman, the founder of positive psychology, shows that real happiness comes from finding meaning and being fully involved in something, not just from making more money. So when we focus on something bigger than ourselves, happiness tends to follow. It also helps us to push through tough times that are part of achieving any goal. So we can use the one question to help us with this. Ask yourself, what's the one thing you can do that would mean the most to you and to others? This chapter also talks about the story of Scrooge. It uses him as an example of how changing your purpose can change your life. Scrooge went from just saving money and using people to using his money to help others. So he was successful before, but he changed his purpose, and then that changed everything. For Gary Keller, his purpose is teaching others how to live their best lives through his writing and coaching, and that brings him happiness and keeps him motivated. And next we have chapter 14, which is about how breaking down big goals into daily actions is the key to staying focused on our top priority. So it's about all about turning our future big goals into today's little actions. People often choose short-term rewards over long-term rewards. Like in studies, they may choose $100 today instead of $200 in a year, and that's due to a psychological bias called hyperbolic discounting. To beat that, we can start by writing down our big long-term goal, like what we want 5 years out, and then we break it down to what we need to do in 1 year to achieve it. And then we break down that 1 year outcome to what we need to do or accomplish in 1 month to achieve it. And then we break that 1 month goal into what we need to have done by this week. We break that down, what we need to have done by today. And then we ask ourselves what we can do right now to achieve that goal. So step by step, we ask what our one thing is from 5 years all the way down to today. By breaking down our big someday goal into these smaller steps, that can help us stay on track towards achieving it. And another point is that research shows writing down your goals makes you 42% more likely to achieve them. So here's another growth coach workshop exercise. What is a big, ambitious goal you've been thinking about? Break it down into smaller, specific steps. What can you do this week to move closer to that goal? And that brings us to key takeaway number 7, which is time blocking for productivity. Use time blocking to dedicate uninterrupted time to your most important work. Set aside at least 4 hours a day to focus on your one thing. Jumping into chapter 15, which is all about using time blocking to focus on your most important work and reduce distractions. So time blocking means, first of all, setting aside at least 4 hours in the first part of your day to focus on your one thing, your most important task. Whether you're a coder, writer, or doing any other job, this is the time to do your one thing. Once you finish that, you can handle other tasks like organizing or managing. Successful people don't always work more hours. They just get the right things done, their core work, in the time they work. And that means getting it done first. Dealing with distractions. These are the biggest threat to getting things done for most of us. You see, right now, people are probably accustomed to being able to interrupt you at any time or get a quick response. Instead, we can treat that time block, those 4 hours, like an appointment that you can't miss. After a week or two, people will get used to not being able to reach you right away during this time block. The author recommends doing things like putting up a do not disturb sign or putting your phone away in a drawer to stay focused. Finally, time off is crucial. Before time blocking anything else in your schedule, time block your time off. He says many successful people plan their work around their vacations because they understand rest is key to staying productive and doing our best work. Next is chapter 16, which outlines 3 key principles: mastery, challenging yourself, and accountability. These are essential principles for long-term success. So first we have keep working towards mastery. Mastery doesn't come from talent alone, which many people thought. It comes from putting in the hours of deliberate practice. You probably heard of the 10,000-hour rule by now. That comes from Anders Ericsson's study on violinists, which showed that the best aren't born that way. They practice for hours each day, day after day after day, with the deliberate intention of getting better. It's also important for us to stay open to learning new things if we want to achieve mastery. Like how the creator of judo wanted to be buried with a white belt, showing he was always a beginner at heart. Next, you want to push yourself to do things in the best way possible. Don't settle for just doing things at your personal best level or good enough. Ask yourself, am I doing this the best way it can be done? You see, it's easy for us to get comfortable doing our work in a way that feels natural to us. But if we want to reach the next level of success, we often need to push ourselves to find better ways, even if it means learning new skills and stepping outside of our comfort zone. Next point is to seek accountability. Studies show you're 70% more likely to achieve your goals with an accountability partner or coach. The top violinists in Ericsson's study didn't just practice, they also had expert coaches to guide them. Find someone to hold you accountable and help you stay on track. Next, we have chapter 17, which is about four key obstacles that can steal your focus and keep you from working on your one thing. First is fear of saying no. To focus on your one thing, you have to say no to most other things. If you try to do everything for everyone, your energy will get spread too thin, and you end up working on what other people want instead of your own priorities. As an example, Steve Jobs did this by cutting Apple's product line when he came back to the company from 250 to just 10, saying, and he also said, focus is about saying no. Next is fear of chaos. When we do focus on one thing, other less important tasks will pile up for us. That can be frightening, but this author says we need to learn that it's okay and to let it happen. Finish your main task first, and later you'll deal with the rest. And often, some of that chaos will fix itself while you focus on what matters most. Next is mismanaging energy. Your energy is key to getting things done. We can start the day right with things like meditation, a good breakfast, and exercise. Walking 10,000 steps is a good hack. If you don't take care of your energy, your productivity will drop. The author learned this the hard way when he stopped paying attention to his health and rest, and then he began having health issues. Next point is managing your environment. Make sure your environment helps you focus on your one thing. Get your family and close friends to support your goals, and avoid distractions like TV or chatting at the office until your important work is done. You can catch up on those things later, but not before you finish your priority first. Next, we have chapter 18, which is all about how thinking big yet starting small can lead to big achievements and help us avoid regrets later in our lives. So the first point is to start small to achieve big goals. This chapter begins with an exercise. Imagine doubling your income and ask if what you're doing now could get you there in 5 years. If yes, then keep doubling that income number until it becomes unrealistic. So it's kind of an exercise to think bigger. The author then tells a story about planting small apple trees, then waiting patiently for a few years, and today he has an orchard. So it's a reminder that big results start with small steps that will pay off years to come. There's that old expression, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Next, we can avoid regrets by being true to ourselves. Many people regret most what they didn't do. When they live by others' expectations instead of their own inner guidance. To avoid those kinds of regrets, we can keep asking the focus in question. What's the one thing I can do? And then act on it repeatedly. And this book ends with a story that ends with the line, when you put the band together, the world just falls into place. And it shows that when we focus on improving ourselves and doing the right one thing, then everything else in life will fall into place as well. So let's finish up with another growth coach workshop exercise. How much time do you currently dedicate to your most important task each day? How could you rearrange your schedule to block out at least 4 hours of focused time to reach that level of mastery? So, in conclusion, in The One Thing, the journey to success is about narrowing your focus, asking the right question, and building habits that create extraordinary results. By focusing on what matters most and taking small, meaningful steps every single day, we can set off a domino effect that leads to big achievements and a life lived true to ourselves without regrets.